This is the listening part of the final examination 2017, levels A2 and A2 plus for schools in Lower Saxony. There are four parts to the test. You will hear each part twice. For each part of the test, there will be time for you to look through the questions and time for you to check the answers. Write your answers on the paper. You must not speak during the test. Now look at part one. There are seven questions in this part. You will hear seven short conversations. You will hear each conversation twice. For each question, there are three pictures and a short recording. Choose the correct picture and put a tick in the box below it. Before we start, here is an example. Which instrument does the girl play?
Would you like to come to the school concert tomorrow evening, Auntie Jane?
Are you playing the cello?
No, you know I don't play the cello. I've never played the cello.
So what do you play? Didn't you play the flute years ago?
No, Auntie, I play the saxophone. I really enjoy playing in the band. Come, please.
The third picture is correct, so there is a tick in box C. Now look at the three pictures for question one. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear each recording twice. 1. What time is the appointment?
Hello.
Hello. I just want a quick shampoo and cut. I was wondering if you could fit me in now.
Well, 10 o'clock is quite a busy time. Could you perhaps come back this afternoon?
Yes, that might be OK. It depends on the time. I don't finish work until 3.
Let me check. What about 3:15?
That could be a bit tight, but I could manage 3:30.
Perfect. What name is it?
Perkins.
Fine. See you later then.
Now listen again.
Hello.
Hello. I just want a quick shampoo and cut. I was wondering if you could fit me in now.
Well, 10 o'clock is quite a busy time. Could you perhaps come back this afternoon?
Yes, that might be OK. It depends on the time. I don't finish work until 3.
Let me check. What about 3:15?
That could be a bit tight, but I could manage 3:30.
Perfect. What name is it?
Perkins.
Fine. See you later then.
Two. Which pizza does the woman order?
Mario's Pizza Service? How can I help you?
I'd like to order a pizza.
Okay.
I'd like number 30.
The onion, mushroom and tomatoes.
Yes, please, but without the tomatoes. Could I have extra cheese, please?
Got that. Thin or a thick crust?
I'll go for the thin crust, I think.
Good. Can you give me your address, please?
Now listen again.
Mario's Pizza Service? How can I help you?
I'd like to order a pizza.
Okay.
I'd like number 30.
The onion, mushroom and tomatoes.
Yes, please, but without the tomatoes. Could I have extra cheese, please?
Got that. Thin or a thick crust?
I'll go for the thin crust, I think.
Good. Can you give me your address, please?
Three. Which is the art room? A, B or C?
Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me the way to the art room? I have a class there.
The art room. Well, let me think. Do you know where the staff room is?
Yes, I think so. On the first floor.
That's right. From there, you carry on along the corridor and turn left when you get to the stairs. It's the second door on the left.
Thank you very much.
Now listen again.
Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me the way to the art room? I have a class there.
The art room? Well, let me think. Do you know where the staff room is?
Yes, I think so. On the first floor.
That's right. From there, you carry on along the corridor and turn left when you get to the stairs. It's the second door on the left.
Thank you very much.
Four. How does the girl get to Barnet Square?
Excuse me, I'd like to go to Barnet Square, and I've been waiting here for nearly 15 minutes. It says on the timetable that there's a number 178 at 9:15, and now it's nearly half past.
Let me have a look. Oh, the 9:15 doesn't run during the school holidays. You'll have to wait for the 9:52.
Oh, dear. I have an appointment at 10 o'clock. I'll have to take a taxi.
You'll never get a taxi in this rain. But you could get a number 6 to the station and then walk through to Barnet Square. You should make your appointment on time.
Thanks very much. I'll do that.
Now listen again.
Excuse me, I'd like to go to Barnet Square, and I've been waiting here for nearly 15 minutes. It says on the timetable that there's a number 178 at 9:15, and now it's nearly half past.
Let me have a look. Oh, the 9:15 doesn't run during the school holidays. You'll have to wait for the 9:52.
Oh, dear. I have an appointment at 10 o'clock. I'll have to take a taxi.
You'll never get a taxi in this rain. But you could get a number 6 to the station and then walk through to Barnet Square. You should make your appointment on time.
Thanks very much. I'll do that.
Five. Where does the boy buy something to eat?
Hi, you guys. Any idea where I can get something to eat? I'm starving.
You're new, aren't you? Well, you can get a sandwich or a roll at the kiosk on the first floor.
Okay.
Oh, but they're not open until after 10. You could go over to the cafeteria in the other building if you're quick, but we only have 10 minutes break. They have all sorts of things there. Pizza, quiche, fruit.
That sounds great.
Otherwise, there is the snack machine in the hall. But of course, you can only get crisps and chocolate bars there.
No, that's not for me. I'm really hungry, and I can run fast.
Now listen again.
Hi, you guys. Any idea where I can get something to eat? I'm starving.
You're new, aren't you? Well, you can get a sandwich or a roll at the kiosk on the first floor.
Okay.
Oh, but they're not open until after 10. You could go over to the cafeteria in the other building if you're quick, but we only have 10 minutes break. They have all sorts of things there. Pizza, quiche, fruit.
That sounds great.
Otherwise, there is the snack machine in the hall. But of course, you can only get crisps and chocolate bars there.
No, that's not for me. I'm really hungry, and I can run fast.
Six. What does Jenny pack?
Jenny, have you packed that nice umbrella Aunt Mary gave you for your birthday?
Mum, no one ever uses umbrellas. They're totally uncool. I've got a hood and a raincoat. And anyway, it never rains in the south of France.
Well, all right. What about your suntan lotion?
I've got that. And before you ask, I've got my passport in my zip pocket.
Good. Do you need a dictionary or anything?
Oh, Mum, I don't need a dictionary, do I? I can look things up on my smartphone.
Well, I suppose you can, dear. You've got everything, then.
Now listen again.
Jenny, have you packed that nice umbrella Aunt Mary gave you for your birthday?
Mum, no one ever uses umbrellas. They're totally uncool. I've got a hood and a raincoat. And anyway, it never rains in the south of France.
Well, all right. What about your suntan lotion?
I've got that. And before you ask, I've got my passport in my zip pocket.
Good. Do you need a dictionary or anything?
Oh, Mum, I don't need a dictionary, do I? I can look things up on my smartphone.
Well, I suppose you can, dear. You've got everything, then.
Seven. Which musical do they want to see?
Oh, look at those posters. Isn't that one Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, it's actually on tonight. We could go and see it if you like.
I've already seen it on Broadway. But hey, there are other musicals on in town, too. The Lion King.
The Lion King? I saw that last year. What about Aladdin? I haven't seen that yet. Have you?
Isn't Aladdin more for kids? I remember seeing the film when I was about 10.
But a musical is different. You'll like it.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
Now listen again.
Oh, look at those posters. Isn't that one Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, it's actually on tonight. We could go and see it if you like.
I've already seen it on Broadway. But hey, there are other musicals on in town, too. The Lion King.
The Lion King? I saw that last year. What about Aladdin? I haven't seen that yet. Have you?
Isn't Aladdin more for kids? I remember seeing the film when I was about 10.
But a musical is different. You'll like it.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
This is the end of part one. Now turn to part two, questions 8 to 13. Listen to the following conversation between Tim and Sally. For questions 8 to 13, tick the correct box A, B, or C. The first question is an example. You now have 30 seconds to look at part two. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
Hi, Tim. Lovely to see you. How is your stay in Oslo?
Great, but the weather wasn't exactly brilliant, so I watched quite a lot of TV.
That's not like you.
Well, you're right, but I discovered a very strange TV channel.
Yeah?
It's called Slow TV. The programmes are just one long camera shot. Someone told me that one of the first ones they showed was a 7-hour train journey.
Do the programmes have any commentary or just background music?
No, just the natural sounds and the pictures. That's what slow TV is all about.
But who on earth would watch that? I mean, apart from you. Doesn't it get boring after a while?
Well, you'd be surprised. I thought it was just something for railway enthusiasts, but apparently 1.6 million Norwegians watched it. Not bad, considering the population of Norway is only 5 million.
Really? I'm amazed.
There was a programme showing birds flying around a garden for a whole day, then one showing 12 hours of non-stop knitting, would you believe, and another one about a boat trip along the fjords, which ran for 134 hours.
134 hours? You're joking!
No, I'm not. It was shown live, and lots of people who live on the coast came out to wave as the boat sailed by. Over 3 million people watched that.
Wow, the Norwegians must be really weird. I don't think programmes like that could be popular over here in Britain.
I don't see why not. The shows are really relaxing. You can keep them on in the background when you're doing other things. Apparently, the BBC has picked up on the idea.
And what do the critics say?
Well, I've heard that some US television personalities made fun of slow TV and said it was like taking a sleeping pill.
Well, I'm sure it would make me feel sleepy.
Now listen again.
Hi, Tim. Lovely to see you. How is your stay in Oslo?
Great. But the weather wasn't exactly brilliant, so I watched quite a lot of TV.
That's not like you.
Well, you're right. But I discovered a very strange TV channel.
Yeah?
It's called Slow TV. The programmes are just one long camera shot. Someone told me that one of the first ones they showed was a 7-hour train journey.
Do the programmes have any commentary or just background music?
No, just the natural sounds and the pictures. That's what Slow TV is all about.
But who on earth would watch that? I mean, apart from you. Doesn't it get boring after a while?
Well, you'd be surprised. I thought it was just something for railway enthusiasts, but apparently 1.6 million Norwegians watched it. Not bad, considering the population of Norway is only 5 million.
Really? I'm amazed.
There was a programme showing birds flying around a garden for a whole day, then one showing 12 hours of non-stop knitting, would you believe, and another one about a boat trip along the fjords, which ran for 134 hours.
134 hours? You're joking!
No, I'm not. It was shown live, and lots of people who live on the coast came out to wave as the boat sailed by. Over 3 million people watched that.
Wow, the Norwegians must be really weird. I don't think programmes like that could be popular over here in Britain.
I don't see why not. The shows are really relaxing. You can keep them on in the background when you're doing other things. Apparently, the BBC has picked up on the idea.
And what do the critics say?
Well, I've heard that some US television personalities made fun of Slow TV and said it was like taking a sleeping pill.
Well, I'm sure it would make me feel sleepy.
This is the end of part two. Now turn to part three, questions 14 to 19. You will hear Barry Smitherman, director of the London Wildlife Rescue and Ambulance Service, WRAS, give a presentation about his charity to raise money. Listen to him and complete the notes by filling the gaps 14 to 19. The first question is an example. You now have 30 seconds to look at part three. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
Britain is a nation of animal lovers. Many of us have pets. 46% of all households in 2015. But here at the Wildlife Rescue and Ambulance Service, we also care about wild animals. London is home to millions of people. But we notice that more and more wild animals are looking for places to live in the middle of the city. But this new life in the city is dangerous. The animals often get poisoned, have road accidents, or are attacked by cats and dogs. Our work here at the WRAS is to care for sick, injured or very young animals, and our staff look after them, and then hopefully get them well enough so they can go back into the wild. When the animals are first brought in, they often need treatment here at the animal hospital. This is Bob, a hedgehog who was attacked by a dog. We gave him antibiotics and stitched up his wounds. He will be released back into the wild next year. Most of the people who work at our shelter are volunteers. None of us are paid. We work for free because we love animals. We are a charity, and to keep the work going, we rely on your donations, on people coming and visiting us at the centre, and on people adopting one of our animals. If you want to help, go to our website. Visit us on Facebook. Or call 0800 ANIMAL. That's 0800 264 625.
Now listen to part three again.
Britain is a nation of animal lovers. Many of us have pets. 46% of all households in 2015. But here at the Wildlife Rescue and Ambulance Service, we also care about wild animals. London is home to millions of people, but we notice that more and more wild animals are looking for places to live in the middle of the city. But this new life in the city is dangerous. The animals often get poisoned, have road accidents, or are attacked by cats and dogs. Our work here at the WRAS is to care for sick, injured or very young animals, and our staff look after them, and then hopefully get them well enough so they can go back into the wild. When the animals are first brought in, they often need treatment here at the animal hospital. This is Bob, a hedgehog who was attacked by a dog. We gave him antibiotics and stitched up his wounds. He will be released back into the wild next year. Most of the people who work at our shelter are volunteers. None of us are paid. We work for free because we love animals. We are a charity, and to keep the work going, we rely on your donations, on people coming and visiting us at the centre, and on people adopting one of our animals. If you want to help, go to our website, visit us on Facebook, or call 0800 ANIMAL. That's 0800 264 625.
This is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4, questions 20 to 25. You will hear a radio interview about young people and their mobile phone use. For questions 20 to 25, decide whether each sentence is true or false. Put a tick in the correct box, true or false. The first question is an example. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 4. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
This is Radio Sheffield. I'm your host, Desiree Lee. Have you just looked at your mobile phone? Has someone texted you? Well, you are not alone. Many teenagers become nervous if they can't contact their friends the whole day. Child psychologist Dr. David Lewis, who carried out a study about young people and their mobile phones, is here in the studio with us. Dr. Lewis, what are the dangers when children spend too much time with their mobile phones?
If this trend continues, young people won't be able to form long and stable relationships without the help of a mobile phone.
So, how many British children already have their own mobile phone?
We've found that more than 75% of all British children between 5 and 16 now have a mobile phone. But apart from making calls, they're using their mobiles to send millions of text messages to friends each day. Teenagers use every free minute to get in touch with their friends.
So, what are they texting about the whole day?
Well, actually, it is not what they are communicating about, but rather the act of staying in touch that is most important for them. You have to understand that young people are not talking about important things. They even text each other when they actually don't have anything to say. It's all about staying in touch.
Why is staying in touch so important to them?
That's because young people hate to feel as if they are not in the in-group. They think that without a mobile, they will be left out. They use them to keep up to date with a wide group of contacts.
I see. It helps them to socialise.
You're right. But together with computers and video games, the mobile phone is bad for young people's social skills because there is no personal contact.
I've also read that emailing, text messaging and playing games on mobile phones is affecting other important activities, such as reading and working for school.
That's right. 2/3 of teenagers prefer text messaging to all other forms of written communication, according to a survey last year by Dr. Murray.
So, what could we do to change this situation?
Parents should make sure their children are not constantly using their mobile phones, but also getting enough fresh air and playing outside.
Oh, that won't be easy.
Well, to make it a bit easier for parents, they could talk about fixed times for using mobile phones, For example, 2 hours a day after homework is done?
Good point. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, Dr. Lewis.
Thank you for having me on your show, Desiree.
Now we'll switch over to...
Now listen to part 4 again.
This is Radio Sheffield. I'm your host, Desiree Lee. Have you just looked at your mobile phone? Has someone texted you? Well, you are not alone. Many teenagers become nervous if they can't contact their friends the whole day. Child psychologist Dr. David Lewis, who carried out a study about young people and their mobile phones, is here in the studio with us. Dr. Lewis, what are the dangers when children spend too much time with their mobile phones?
If this trend continues, young people won't be able to form long and stable relationships without the help of a mobile phone.
So, how many British children already have their own mobile phone?
We've found that more than 75% of all British children between 5 and 16 now have a mobile phone. But apart from making calls, they're using their mobiles to send millions of text messages to friends each day. Teenagers use every free minute to get in touch with their friends.
So, what are they texting about the whole day?
Well, actually, it is not what they are communicating about, but rather the act of staying in touch that is most important for them. You have to understand that young people are not talking about important things. They even text each other when they actually don't have anything to say. It's all about staying in touch.
Why is staying in touch so important to them?
That's because young people hate to feel as if they are not in the in-group. They think that without a mobile, they will be left out. They use them to keep up to date with a wide group of contacts.
I see. It helps them to socialise.
You're right. But together with computers and video games, the mobile phone is bad for young people's social skills because there is no personal contact.
I've also read that emailing, text messaging and playing games on mobile phones is affecting other important activities, such as reading and working for school.
That's right. 2/3 of teenagers prefer text messaging to all other forms of written communication, according to a survey last year by Dr. Murray.
So, what could we do to change this situation?
Parents should make sure their children are not constantly using their mobile phones, but also getting enough fresh air and playing outside.
Oh, that won't be easy.
Well, to make it a bit easier for parents, they could talk about fixed times for using mobile phones. For example, 2 hours a day after homework is done.
Good point. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, Dr. Lewis.
Thank you for having me on your show, Desiree.
Now we'll switch over to...
This is the end of the listening part. Good luck for the rest of your examination.